I go by the name Leche. So I'm so blessed that they came out. I appreciate them so much. They have such a heart for the Lord, and they are just awesome. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at the first 8 verses. And this really is the first sunrise service. And that's what the passage gives to us, the details of that very first unexpected, not planned, sunrise service. Matthew 28:1 says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven, had came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his presence was like the lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. This, without a doubt, is one of the most joyful days of the year for the believer, recognizing that Jesus took upon himself our sins. And the resurrection is the Father's stamp of approval, paid in full. So the great news is that we don't have to fear death because Jesus has gone before us. He's taken the sting out of death. For the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But not only that, you've broken the power of sin. We no longer have to be controlled by sin. The penalty of sin has been dealt with. So, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. Those of us that are believers today, Lord, we just need to recommit ourselves to you today. We want to love you more. We want to serve you more. We want to be faithful disciples of God. And we pray for those here that have not trusted Jesus. Maybe they've come on out, and maybe they've come a number of times, but have never really come and committed themselves to you. We pray that today would be that new beginning for them. And we ask all of this in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Came across some epitaphs that were recorded at various cemeteries. Read a few of them to you. They're rather humorous. One's in Thumont, Maryland. It says, "Here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go." Ribsford, England cemetery reads, "Anna Wallace, the children of Israel wanted bread and the Lord sent them manna. Old clerk Wallace wanted a wife and the devil sent him Anna." In the cemetery in Hartscombe, England, it says, "On the 22nd of June, Jonathan Fiddle went out of tune." And then in Uptown, Pennsylvania cemetery, "Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake. He stepped on the gas instead of the brake." You know, these epitaphs have one thing in common. They are written upon the tombs that are occupied. But without a doubt, one of the greatest messages that was ever given was given in a place of resting, a cemetery. And those words were, "He is not here, he is risen." The messenger was an angel that had come. And what's so amazing about the Easter story is that when you read it in the Gospels, it's very apparent that the very followers, the disciples of Jesus, did not expect Jesus to rise from the dead. They actually were doubting the very fact, and it's almost as if they didn't hear what he said. But when you read through the Gospels, it's very clear that he said it over and over and over again. And some considered it almost to be nonsense. But that's the message of today, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And what this is the first sunrise service. When you read the Gospels, they came to the tomb while it was still dark. The amazing thing is, as they're going there, they begin to talk about the events of the day and what has happened. And these women, out of their great love for the Lord, come to finish the embalming process. Now, in our next services, we're going to talk about the evidence of the resurrection, the proof of the resurrection. There are so many undeniable truths regarding the resurrection. I mean, a person does themselves well simply to accept the resurrection as fact, because there is so much. But what this is the very first sunrise service that took place that is recorded in the Bible. I want to look at four things that this angel said to these women that came to finish this embalming process. The first thing is in verse 6, is an invitation to come. And the angel says, "He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying." This invitation come is an invitation that we see throughout Scripture. Again and again, the Lord bids us to come. The Lord wants us to come to him. And even on a service like this, out of tradition, many people come. The invitation goes out today. God wants us to come. Now, this very first invitation was to come and check out the empty tomb. And the angel wanted these women to see for themselves. He wanted them to come and investigate. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come. Buy and eat, come, buy wine, milk, without money and without cost." John 7:37, "Now on the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, 'If any man is thirsty, let him come unto me.'" And that cry is the cry that is still being literally proclaimed this day. God wants us to come. I love this wonderful, wonderful promise Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You think of all the messages that could be proclaimed. There's no greater message than the invitation of Jesus to come to him, especially on this Resurrection Sunday. Without a doubt, it is the message of the church to come to Jesus Christ, that he willingly wants us to come and to recognize that he has paid the price for our sins, that we no longer have to come in shame, but we can come as guilt-free people, knowing that he took upon himself our burden. So he says to these women, initial words out of his mouth is, "You need to come. I want you to come. I want you to come to me. You're not to be fearful. You are to come to me." And then the second thing that he says in verse 6, "See the place where he lay. He is not here. He is risen. Come and see." Why should we come and see? Well, the empty tomb proves that Jesus is God. That's the very fact. Now, to just simply look at Jesus as a man misses the point that he was both God and man. Now, if Jesus was a man, he would still be in the tomb. But the very fact that he bids them to come and to look, he wants them to see that he is God. And that's the great message of the resurrection, is that our Lord and Savior is no longer in the grave. He said that he would rise on the third day, and that's exactly what he did. He had authority to lay his life down. He had authority to pick it back up. You know, when you look at the miracles of Jesus, you take all the gospel accounts, there are 35 recorded miracles in the four gospels. Along with that, there are three recorded incidences in which Jesus raised three people from the dead. So why should it be so strange that Jesus could raise himself? Why would it be so unbelievably hard to believe that Jesus would raise himself? Well, he did. 35 miracles, raising three others, Jesus Christ raised himself. Romans 1:3 says, "Concerning his son, who was born of the descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." Another reason we need to come, and another reason why we need to see, is because the tomb itself reveals to us what our sin produces. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. In the garden, God forbid Adam and Eve to eat of that one fruit. God says the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And that day they partook of that fruit, something did die. That relationship with God was now severed. It had been broken because of sin. And every time you look at a tomb, it reminds us of God's word, that it is absolutely faithful and it is true. The day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourgings we are healed. Every time we look at a cemetery, it reveals the vileness of sin. This is the outcome of sin. This is the outcome of the rebellion against God, is a cemetery, is a resting place, is the death of a loved one. It's all the results of sin. And Jesus Christ bids us to come and to see. He wants us to see the reality of our sins. But also he wants us to see the place where we too are going to lie. Unless Jesus Christ comes back and the rapture occurs in our lifetime, we too are going to face the grave. We're going to be separated from these bodies of ours. We're going to be separated from everything that we know. And if we're a believer, we're going to be with the Lord. If not, we're going to be separated not only from our body, but from all others and the Lord himself. So he bids us to come. He wants us to see that he is the Lord. He wants us to see what sin has done, but he also wants us to see where we too will lie. And I think that's a good thing to do that. Every once in a while, I get one of those modes where I stop by a cemetery and I walk around, and I just love reading those epitaphs on the stones themselves. And you read about how loved ones, how people just have such a great loss when someone we know dies. I will never forget you. I will always remember you. And I mean, you just read this. You read various things where people say, there's not a day goes by I don't think about that person. Well, that's the results of sin. And every single one of us are going to face that death too. But facing it with Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Well, we see that Jesus is risen. And that's really the message here. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And Jesus then said, do you believe this? Now here's the good news this morning. Not only are we forgiven from our sins, the penalty of sins, not only are we forgiven of the power, and we now have power over sin, but the very fact that Jesus rose from the dead, he becomes the prototype for the believer. The Bible makes it clear that when Christ was raised from the dead, those that believe in him, those that are united with him, will also rise from the dead. You know, everybody gets a resurrected body because of what Jesus did. But let me assure you, it matters where you'll spend eternity in that body. And the good news is that if we're united with Christ, we too will be in the likeness of his resurrection. And we too will experience life and life eternal in a glorified body. To me, the closest thing to hell would be living in this body for eternity. But a resurrected body, a glorified body like Jesus Christ. Romans says, for if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Michelangelo, what a gifted man. You know, Michelangelo was not only a sculptor, he was a designer, a painter, an architect. Which is interesting, some people don't know. He didn't finish a lot of things. Matter of fact, in Florence, Italy, there's an entire wing of a museum of unfinished sculptures. He would start on a sculpture and just get tired of it and move on to something else. Literally an entire wing in Florence, Italy, is the uncompleted or just not completed projects of Michelangelo. Isn't it great to know that everything that Christ starts, he finishes? I love that promise. Some of us, our homes are museums of unfinished projects. Here's a door half painted. I'm going to finish it one of these days. I just see it when I open it. It just, you know. But, I mean, how wonderful to know that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Every one of us here this morning that are born again are under construction. And it's great to know that Jesus Christ is going to see it through. He's going to complete that process that he has started. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to him or draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I love this, save forever those, are saved completely. And that's what the resurrection is all about. God's going to finish it. We identify with him in his death. We certainly will identify with him in his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. The third thing he says, he not only says, come quickly, he not only says, come and see, but now he says, I want you to go quickly. Verse 7, go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. There's an urgency in the message. I don't know about you, I've been watching the news the last couple of days. Boy, we got some issues, don't we? I mean, North Korea yesterday, I don't know if we should laugh or not, but they were going to show their force of power and it blew up on the launching pad. But the point is that this world of ours is in turmoil. I mean, there is a threat of nuclear bombs. There are nations that are entangled with other nations. There's terrorism. Our government now is on an attack against drug abuse, the opiates, and all of this other stuff that's going on, gang activity that's taking place. Boy, there's a real urgency today to get the message out. The message that we can be made right with God. We can be forgiven of our sins. We can have the payment of our sins completely wiped out. That we don't have to be controlled by sin anymore. Not only that, we can have the hope of a resurrection. I'm sure every one of us here today have some loved one that knew the Lord that's gone. Isn't it an awesome thing to know that you're going to see that loved one again? You're going to see them face to face. You're going to spend eternity with them. Some of us are thinking of those that have gone before us and going, I don't know about that part. But the point is that there's that guarantee that we will see them yet again. So he says, go quickly. And it's so sad that some seem to hang around the grave. You know, I was brought up in Catholicism, and it just seems like all we ever did was hang around the tomb. I mean, 363 days of the year, we're talking about the sufferings of Christ, and then we got one day where we celebrate he rose from the dead. And it actually should be a reverse of that. We should be praising God that he rose from the dead. We should be just so excited about the fact of what that reality means to us, and then have one day where we reflect upon him going to the cross. But there's some just have this mindset of just hanging around the grave as if it's wrong somehow to glorify in the Christ that took upon himself our sins. We should be ever thankful. We should be ever rejoicing over what Jesus Christ has done. But lastly, he gives this fourth word to them, tell others. So he says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Well, what is the message? Jesus is not dead, he's alive. Jesus has conquered death. And not only that, he is both Lord and Christ. And I love this, he's going before you. Boy, we need that, don't we? We need a Savior that will go before us. And he says, I'm going ahead of you, or going before you into Galilee. And so in verse 8, I love these words. They left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran and reported to his disciples. I love to hear faithful, obedient service to the Lord. And that's exactly what they did. And then we have these wonderful last words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. I want to leave you with four results of the resurrection. And these are real practical things this morning. And I want to leave you with these. Because this, if someone says, well, you know, what are you Christians talking about the resurrection for? I mean, what's this thing about the resurrection, this thing of Jesus coming back from the dead 2,000 years old? Well, let me tell you the implications of what that means. Number one, it means that there is now a certainty of a resurrection. That as surely as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that now gives to us the certainty that we too will also rise from the dead. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, there is going to be a resurrection. Secondly, there is the certainty of a day of judgment. Did you know that the judgment that's coming is based upon the resurrection? That's the evidence that there will be a judgment, is the resurrection. Acts 17:31 says, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. So for believers today, this is a day of rejoicing over the resurrection. For others, it's a difficult day because this resurrection means their doom. If they don't trust Jesus Christ, they're going to stand before God and they will be judged accordingly. And the evidence is, because he rose from the dead, there will also be a judgment. But thirdly, there is also the forgiveness of sins. Now that's the thing that we're majoring upon today, and we should. Is that the payment and the penalty of sin has been dealt with by Jesus through the resurrection. It's the Father's stamp of approval, paid in full. The restaurants I go to, they always have a little nail where they put the little receipt on there, you know, when you get done. These are the high-class restaurants. And they go like this and put that thing down. Well, that, in a sense, is what happened to Christ, paid in full. No longer a debt. It's canceled out. It's accomplished. And then lastly, the certainty that the power of sin has been broken. The world calls it addictions. The Bible calls it slavery. Slavery to sin. Great news that a Christian doesn't have to be controlled by sin. A Christian can yield to sin, but a Christian doesn't have to be. And that's the great news of the resurrection. You know, today I hope and pray that each one of us know Jesus. But if we don't, we need to know the reality of why Jesus went to the cross. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible is clear. We all have this in common. We are sinners by nature and we're sinners by choice. And the Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. But the Bible also tells us the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible also teaches that God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then the Bible tells us what we must do. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we too shall be saved. It's very simple to come to faith in Christ. It's very simple to receive the forgiveness of sins. It's a very simple thing. Let's bow our heads for a moment and let's consider this. I mean, this truly is a believer's service. But people come, and they come year after year, and it's in many ways it's the most difficult Sunday of the year because people just come out of a sense of tradition. And sometimes our hearts are not open. We're not receptive because we've heard it so much. It's almost, we become almost spiritually callous. But maybe there's someone here today that would say, you know what? I need the forgiveness of sins. I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm falling short of the glory of God. And I also can see by the grave that the wages of sin is death. The Bible's very clear about that too. But the Bible's also clear about how much God loves me, that he died for me, and he demonstrated his love by dying for me. And I also realize how simple it is. It's by faith. Trusting in Christ. Is there anyone here this morning that, by the show of hands, wants to be forgiven of your sins? You want to know that your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You want to know that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Is there anyone here this morning that has not done that, that needs to do so this morning? It is the literal reason why you were placed on this earth was to receive Jesus. To receive this new life. Oh, you're physically alive and soulishly active, but you're spiritually dead. Is there anyone here this morning that has not done that, that wants to be forgiven of their sins, wants to have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, wants to trust Jesus Christ, wants to know that God himself will shepherd them, will guide them, will lead them, that God himself will give them power over sin. By that resurrection power that raised Jesus will also dwell in them. Is there anyone here today that wants to make that decision for Christ? Lord, I thank you this morning. I thank you for the power of the resurrection. We thank you for the changed lives that is further evidence of the resurrection of Christ. And Lord, I pray for just each and every one of us this day that we truly, without any doubt, know that we have received forgiveness, that we belong to you, and that we are the children of God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that that resurrection power would become so apparent in our lives that as others look at us, they can see that Christ dwells in us. There's no question about who we belong to and what we live for. So, Lord, I pray you burn that into our hearts. Let us be more committed today than we've ever been before because of what you willingly have done for us. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. As we close with